plug into your microphone. I know Ed put a new battery in it.
Okay, I'm rolling. Galatians 4, verse 21 is where we'll pick up. And, I did notice I skipped the verse last week, but I'm just going to go back and pick it up. I'm not going to stay there. Where Paul talked about verse 16, he says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you." And he's saying those Judaizers, he says they would affect you. They would exclude you that ye might affect them. Verse 17. But we didn't cover that verse, but that's what they were doing to those believers, and that's what religious people do too. They present it in a way that that if you don't do what they do, then you're not spiritual. Yeah. You ever notice, that they would say something like, you're not in the tithe line? You can't do God like that. Like they're so spiritual, mm-hmm. And if you don't, then here's the tithe huddle over here, and then you sitting by yourself. So what would you do? They are influencing you.
Yeah.
And the moment you get on that bandwagon, not only have you given up your freedom and your conviction, but you are deceiving yourself because you're not going to tithe. I'm just using that because it's something you can. So, matter of fact, I remember this was in Detroit. We, take up the offering or whatever, and this is voluntary. This is voluntary offering, and I'm just saying this because it's true. And we love the brethren, right? But we took up the offering, and we go back in, and we count the money, and then you get to an envelope, and you open it up. Nice, thick envelope. Shredded paper.
Their name ain't on it, though.
And, of course not. But, and I thought, human nature would do that. Because if you see the basket being passed, everybody's watching to see, are you going to drop something in the basket? And if you don't, that's a cheap saint. You're not spiritual. You don't love God. All these things. So they would influence you to drop money in there. And what would you do? You go through the deception of putting, like, God doesn't see that. He doesn't see that. He does see that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So would it have been better to not do it? Or to influence somebody who's watching? That's what he said. They zealously affect you, but not well.
Well, you could take some change out as it goes by. Do you think they would?
I don't think they would do that.
No, I just had a confession to make. I get my job structure, I get paid once a month. So I can remember, I used to because I get paid once a month, so I put a check in once a month when that came by. And they have things, but nobody knows that. So then I started dividing it up into four checks so I can put something in there every week. And then I got under conviction about it that, it's not anybody's business what I do. Mm-hmm. And it's between me and the Lord. And He knows, and that's all it needs to know. So I went back to once a month and not worried about it. But you're right. You mm-hmm. get caught up in that, and you're more
right
worried about what someone else thinks, and all you're doing is looking worse to the Lord.
And He's right.
Lord, I already know you were going to do that.
And we'll
go back.
We talk about those, like the stories, like the widow's mite. We talk about those things, but they're just stories to us. Sometimes we forget the whole principle. even if it's not like Paul said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all like it's unto the Lord. And if you don't have it, he knows that. And if you have it and you don't want to give it, he knows that too. He said, if a man gives, he says, to the principle of grace giving is this, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God
loves to forgive.
God loves a cheerful giver. That's my sister. We know that verse and stuff. And he's, you know what? He knows that. You don't give out of necessity or grudgingly. How many saints you think give grudgingly every week? Or out of necessity?
Quite a bit.
I've done it.
Yeah.
We've done it. Until you finally realize, you know, those verses, you know what, if the Lord said the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, what can you give him? That he'll say, oh, I needed that. Right?
Yeah.
I can't think of the verse, but I was saying something like, Can we outgive him? No, that's where we sing that song. You can't beat God giving. You know, no matter how hard you try. We don't try that, though. We don't try. We might pretend like we're giving like that, but we're not. But he says, verse 18, he says, they zealously affect you, but not well. They would exclude you that ye might affect them. Remember in John, this was back in John, where the parents of the blind man, where his son Jesus healed his son, and they said, who healed you? And he said, I don't know his name. What?
No, we were talking about that same verse just before you came.
Oh, okay. Well, you finish that, right? He says, who healed you? He says, I don't know his name. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. And they went to his parents and they said, who healed him? And they said, what? He's of age. He can answer for himself. You ask him. And he says, I told you. I don't know his name. And he said, I think it's, I'm paraphrasing this. He says, I find it kind of funny that you up here, so you say, and you don't know who this man is. Okay, I wouldn't look at John. Go back to John. Because I want you to get it and I'll mess it up.
Where are we at?
Chapter 9? I didn't think it was that far. Chapter 9.
Well, that's the one where they asked, was he blind because of his parents or because of him or because he sinned? But that's a different one, I think, from the one you're looking for.
Chapter 9, verse
9.
Yeah, chapter 9, verse 15. All right, he said, then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes, he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they what? Feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be what? Put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." That's what I went back to that verse, because that's what the Galatians were doing. Is they put him under the religious pressure. And you talk about, you know, they were saying that we're under grace, and Paul has showed us this grace. He's introduced us to the grace, and we're free. And they says, "No, you're not free. No, you're not free. You can't be free and forget all this and neglect all these rules and rituals, because this is what makes you spiritual."
That's what we hear today.
That's what you do hear that today.
Obedience.
You have to, right. Ed said it last week. You have to do this. That's who's telling you that. The important point to the board. Sharon said, when you're talking about the board and writing on the board, we don't see that. So tell us what's on the board. This says religious people. I'm pointing to religious people. Religious people tell you you can't be free. That's it. Go to your churches, former churches, friends, and start talking about this freedom.
Man, you get ran out.
You get what?
Ran out.
Why? Why would they run you out?
Contrary to what they're teaching.
Because you know what? And some of us, we will allow ourselves, like the Galatians, to go back in bondage because they affect you, but not. I just read it, right. But not what? They zealously affect you, but not. But not for good purpose, but not well. He says it's always good to be zealously affected in a what? In a good thing. He said,
"You're almost describing the political situation here in this country right now."
Well, that's two things that keep us in bondage, religion and politics, but since we in Bible class, we're going to stick to religion.
No, I didn't mean.
But he said, that's why he said that to them. He told them, he said, "You have not injured me at all." He says, "Be as I am, because I'm as you are." They didn't. Do you know every believer that trusts Christ today? Every believer, from the smallest or the youngest to the eldest, every believer, without exception, has the same standing, the same position, the same benefits that we have. When I say we who know grace. You know what? They have the same righteousness, the same sanctification, the same justification. They have all those, the same processes have been imputed to them. The same benefits have been imputed to them. You know that? And they're walking around rich in Christ.
And don't even know.
And don't know it. Every one of them. It's believers in the Pentecostal church. It's believers in the Methodist church. It's believers in the Baptist churches. It's believers in Catholic churches. Whatever denomination you want to slap on the religious people, every one of them, if they believe, they have it. Mm-hmm. They have it. Mm-hmm. You know why they have it?
Because about them, but what he did.
Because it's not about them. It's what he did. That's why he. That's what he says. It's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. When he talks in Colossians, he said this. He says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he says, the reason I'm telling you this is because I don't want any man to what? I see y'all. Look at Colossians. I don't want to put y'all on the spot. That's
put us on the spot, right?
Colossians. Any man, what? You know what? I like the King. What version do you have? What version do you have?
I have
ESV. ESV? Okay. Colossians 2. Verse 2. He says, verse 8. Yeah. He says, beware. He says, beware lest any man what?
Spoil
you. Yeah. And it's all the same. You know what? But I just like the way that reads.
I was thinking beguile, but I knew that wasn't the word.
He said, beware. Be on the lookout. Lest any man what?
Spoil
you. See, when you see, that's what I say, when you're reading and you read back in the Old Testament and you see where the children of Israel went in and they spoiled this nation. They go in and they take everything. They take everything that's valuable. Even when they left Egypt, he said, you go to the Egyptians and you say, give me your gold earrings, give me your gold bracelets. Mm-hmm. And he says, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So
they did.
And they did. So a man comes to you and he starts, you just can't believe. That's not it. You can't just trust Christ and that's it. You have to do this. And the moment you start responding to that, like the Galatians, you know what? They're stripping things that Christ has done. He's stripping them away from you. Spoiling you of your treasure that's in Christ when you trust him. So don't look at it like that. And we let a man, and it's through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions, after the rudiments of the world, and not. And it's the religious things. That's what robs you. Now, Melissa's here. She won't mind me saying this, and it sticks with me. She said, when you get churched out, you look for an answer. Well, that's what churched out is. That's when they put you under so much religious responsibilities and yokes. Yeah. You realize that this is not right.
Yeah.
Then you say, you know what? When you get enough of getting, like Paul said to Corinthians, he said, you suffer if a man smite you in the mouth, if he take of yours. You like that. You'll put up with that. But if I'm telling you, you're free in Christ, serve him out of gratitude and love, you don't want that. But if a man puts you on a treadmill, you like that. Because there's something you can say, look at me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, performance. Because you still think that it's something. You still think you got something to add.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was invited to a Baptist church, some little small church, and you can, I don't know, just by looking, you can really tell that they love Christ. I don't know if you can just look and tell, but it seemed total dominion. But at the same time, with the law that was going forward and how they was just jumping and rah-rah when they heard tithes and offering, you know, we're going to have healings going forward. You know, it's really heartbreaking because I was like, man, I can really give them some freedom, but they wouldn't want it. They wouldn't know, they wouldn't even see it as being freedom. It would be like heresy.
Now, you know what? You can't think like that. Did you know before you came into the knowledge of this, did you know that you were in bondage?
No, not
me. You didn't know that. Mm-hmm. What happened is somebody or you read something that showed you that there's more to this than what I've been taught. And you can read the verses, and like I was saying, you may not know what it means, but you know what it doesn't mean.
Yeah. You know, and the odd part was that, you know, the church financially is poor, and this man is preaching prosperity. And, you know, he's thumping hard in the building this shape. You know, but they're rooted in believing, you know, this message, man. And it's like, man, is this every Sunday?
They've been taught that their whole life.
It's like it's I'm on a train.
You know, this building is about to fall down, and he's talking about poverty, and it's not even in the building to fool me.
That's religion.
But you can't forget that the God of this world, his main thing is deception. If I paint a picture and make it look good to you, then you're gonna go after it. You see what I'm saying? You can see a beautiful apple. You don't know that it's rotten on the inside till you bite into it. So that's the same way the enemy set up deception. But I always tell people that I thank God for the foundation which was implanted in me through the churches that I've been through, which brought me to this point. Yeah. I don't knock them. I go and I'm like, oh my God. But because I pray that God would give me wisdom and knowledge of who he is. Understand who he is. I saw all that from a little girl. I've been in church all my life. But it wasn't until I said, that preacher, what he did say, didn't agree with me. So I started studying myself.
Yeah.
So it's not
right.
Just when I started going to grace that I already, you know, I just came into knowledge of it. But no. I kept going to other places that I was familiar with. So, like I said, once you find something that is almost like you train to it, you know.
Yeah.
That's what bondage is. And that's the thing is what we don't realize is, I don't say we don't realize that, but we have a responsibility as believers to, you study to do what?
Show yourself approved unto God.
Right. That's not my responsibility. To you, that's your responsibility.
But the point about it is that they're going to give you that first part of that scripture and never elaborate on that. Rightly divided.
See,
all my life.
It's not up to this. I'm saying it's up to you.
Right.
That's what we talk. That's what we're talking about. Is when Paul writes to the Galatians, this is just they're just getting into the game, so to speak. And I think this was when you say I believe, when you trust Christ, make that heart transaction. You have just signed up, and I said this in Detroit, you have just signed up for a lifetime of education in God's eyesight.
In God's ways. Education.
That's what he said. That's what he'll, you know what? And he uses this terminology, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual. I can't talk to you as a mature believer. But as what? As a babe. Because you are yet carnal. Babe, carnal, spiritual. You got three categories of believers, and you know where you are as a believer. Mm-hmm. And what that's why Paul, when he goes through and he prays all the time, he says, now, since I heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, I cease not to pray that God would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the what? In the knowledge of him. How do you think you get that? You don't get it by singing. They don't.
By osmosis.
You don't get it.
They have kind of like.
But many preachers and pastors and leaders do not stress the importance of that. If I teach this today, I want you to go home and study this week and become knowledgeable of what I say. They don't tell you that.
Yeah.
Right.
But they don't have to. They don't have to tell you that.
No, but I'm saying, like I said, what I'm saying is, somewhere down the line, it within the church, the leadership say that. But if you're really seeking after the heart of God, you begin to study yourself.
But I haven't heard of TV preaching that preach right.
Well, those are deceptive. You know, because to me, as Satan wanted power and draw attention to himself, the TV people, to me, that's what they, that's the big motive, lift me up, you know. It's not so much to lift God up, you know, lift Christ up. It's about exalting them. Hmm. So,
well, let's cover some ground here.
As you said that, it made me think of like grade school, middle school, and high school, you know.
That's a good way to look at it, because, like I said, the moment you get saved, he doesn't want you to stay as a babe in Christ. You can stay that way. Remember the chart two weeks ago. You can stay and wait till he fill the cup up. You know, you can wait till the. To the end, where he'll finish it up. But the privilege of the honor it is to be able to add something to it while you're here.
But if you're only taught.
That's the difference between a child and a son. That's what we're talking about. Is here, he says, when you're under the, like the Galatians were under the law, the minute they kept one under the law, they limited their relationship. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, I have set you free to be a what?
Son.
To be a son. This goes to the next level.
But back here, you're a servant. And this is all you're taught.
That's it.
And until you get to here, and whoever got to there in the first place, until Paul got to. And then he left. And there's no guidance, and he has to write letters. He has to kick them in the butt, basically.
Here, you want this?
No. But
that's right.
That's what
that's
I'm
right.
getting out of this.
That's right. Right. You are right. And those letters we draw from the letter today. So look at verse. Did I read Colossians? Oh, right. Yeah, that's. Back to Colossians, or back to
Galatians.
Yeah. 4. Yeah, 19. Wow, we gonna get down there.
I was trying to get clarity there. That's all.
He says, "My little children, 19. My little children, of whom my little children, Angela, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. So he recognizes that they're not mature. They're not mature, right? He says, somebody knocked you off the starting block. So that's why he says, I travail in pain again till what?
Christ be
formed in you. Do you know there's believers who been in church 20, 30 plus years, and they don't even know for surety that they're saved.
Yeah.
Go every week, every meeting. Pastor calls, I'm there. Functions, I'm there. Dinners, I'm there. Offerings, I'm giving it. Kitchen, I'm cooking in it. All those things, and they think in their mind, God, he's pleased with this. I'm serving the Lord.
I think they think that's what makes them saved, if they're doing all those things.
Well, that's what I thought when I came here.
You know, yeah.
Picking up hitchhikers, so. Throwing them in the back of my pickup truck. That's a good deed.
I think that's the step so you won't lose your salvation. I think that's what's going on in here.
And it's all... it's ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
It's all based on ignorance. And
the same people probably never cracked their Bible.
That's what I'm saying. You know what? Look, there a guy used to tell me all the time. He said, look, God's point of contact with us is his word. Period.
Yep.
I know you're saying, yeah, I'm not saying you, but you know how many believers operate on emotion and experience.
And hear them 3 a.m. speaking.
And hear, look, you know what? That's, look, I'm telling you, it just sets you up for the fall. Because if you think you got that kind of relationship going on, why would you read? And if you do read something and it's contradictory to what you experienced, what are you going to do?
Don't read some more.
No, you won't read. You won't read anymore.
Read it all the time,
right? You look. You know what Peter said? Peter, I'll quote this. When in Matthew 17, when he took them up to the mount, Peter, James, and John. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Took them up to the mount, and he showed them his glory. This is after they rejected him. He showed them who he really was. And they said, wow, it's good to be here.
Yeah.
He said, it's good to be here. This is a good experience. And he says, don't tell anybody. And in Peter, when Peter writes in 1 Peter, he said this. He says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we declared unto you the Lord's coming and his glory. They were expecting him to come back. He said, they wanted to know, Peter, what happened? What's taking so long? You said he was coming back. What happened? He said, we saw him. We saw that glory in the mount. And he said this. He said, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. He says, I'm not going to tell you he had glory and he's coming back because I saw it. He says, I'm going to tell you because what? Because it's a prophecy. And you would do well to take heed to it. So today, you can talk about it. You can. Everybody, you know what? I know what the Lord did. I left home and I said, Lord, you tell me what street to go down. Yeah. And I went down the street, and sure enough,
I found $20.
All that. You know.
Yeah.
And for you to tell somebody, you know, that's not that God's operating today.
You know what? That's right, because I talked to my mom. She said, you can't tell me about the Lord. He's been speaking to me about all this stuff, and it works.
Listen. If he would come down and talk to us like we say he's talking to us, right? Let's say he would. What do you think he would talk about?
His word.
What about it?
His written word.
I mean, what? What about? What do you think? What do you think he would? Give me three things you think he would focus on.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
saving
it's
the lost. Preaching to the lost.
Three things he was yeah, just teach on.
I mean,
redemption,
grace,
restoration,
get to know him more. Or I mean, this. Do you think he would mention the Pauline epistles at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me change that question. Let's say if
you got a bunch of dummies sitting out here, Frank.
No, don't
just speak out and plain.
I'm trying to get you to think about this. If just say that Jesus Christ came back bodily today,
and walked through that door, right?
Sunday, and he came, boy, you know what? He says, I need to know what church I should go to on Sunday.
He wouldn't ask for a church.
He wouldn't ask for a church.
I'm just saying it. Where do you think he would go? Well, you know, if he just say he wanted to be edified, if he wanted to go somewhere where he would hear about what he himself is doing today, where do you think he would go?
Probably to a homeless man under the bridge that pray and talk to him.
He would go to somebody that's doing what?
Preaching his word.
Preaching the word.
Rightly divided.
Preaching the word rightly divided. He would go in, if he went into some of these other places and they would say all these things that God is doing and Jesus is doing, he'd say, "Who's he talking about? He's talking about me? Really?" He would be shocked because they have him doing all these things. He's like, "I'm not doing that. I stopped doing that
years ago.
Centuries
ago."
He's like, what? He would have to. Anyway, okay, 21. He says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? Those are, you know what? When you talk about people who want to perform, he's like, do you not hear what the law says? You know, the law says you're guilty. Romans 3, all. The law says you're a sinner. The law says you're rotten. The law says I'll kill you. That's the condemnation. It's the ministry of condemnation. That's what the law is. The administration of death. He said, if the law could talk to you, he would tell you these things. He does talk. He would tell you that, like Romans, he says, I can't make you what God wants you to be. The law would say that. The law would say, I can't work with you. Because that's Romans 8. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, can't make you righteous. The law adds nothing to you. He says, tell me ye that hear the law. He says, for it is written. Do you not hear the law? It is written that Abraham had what?
Two sons.
The one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman. Who's the bondmaid?
Hagar.
Free woman?
Sarah.
His wife. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Who's that?
Ishmael.
Who?
Ishmael.
Ishmael. All right, I'm going to leave that up there. But so we got verse, he says, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. So you got two women, right? Hagar. I'm writing Hagar. Sarah. She had Ishmael, Isaac. This is represents the law. This represents spirit. Sarah does. What else?
Corresponds to Jerusalem.
This is Jerusalem, which is above.
You got it back.
This is, thank you. Jerusalem, which is above Mount Sinai. That's close to Mount, just like it, right? Sin. Flesh. Actually, this goes here. Promise. Promise versus law. Spirit versus what? That's the contrast right there. I don't know if you can see all that. But he says, look, which things, these things right here that we wrote up here, he says, Paul, he said, these things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, right here, which engenders to what?
Bondage.
Which is Hagar. But Jerusalem, for this Agar or Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. And I know that's a little thick in there, but he's showing the contrast between, and he uses Jerusalem. Jerusalem after the flesh are those who still work, who still perform, who still trust in the law. Mm-hmm. But the Jerusalem that's free are the ones that, like Abraham and Isaac, that they receive the promise by what? Faith. They don't work. He said verse, he quotes this verse 27 from Isaiah.
Right.
That's where, and it, what happened was when God took Israel into bondage, they didn't reach their full capacity or their full capabilities. You know, as a matter of fact, Ed used that example Sunday about Elijah.
I think it's 54.
50. Yeah. Well, we're not going to go there only because it gets involved in some stuff. But the principle is here. But he talked about Elijah, how the nation had went into idolatry. You know what? They went into idolatry because they were all fleshly. All of them. And when they went into idolatry, there were some who still believed. And Elijah, he said, I'm the only one left. Mm-hmm. He thought. But God says, he says, I have what? 7,000 who have not bowed to the image of Baal. I have 7,000. You know what we think? We think that we know what? We're the only little group.
For sure, it's the only
that love the book. You know, and we're the only ones that understand. And God says, no, you're not.
But God was head count too. He knew what his count was.
Yeah, he knew. He knew. That's why, you know what? That's why we shouldn't head count. Because the Lord knows them that are his.
So they don't do what he says.
So you know what? That's what I tell that's what the guys on Thursday, they have a real problem with this. Because they're used to this. They're used to being in bondage. They're used to putting people in bondage. So they say, you know what? The minute they see a guy who's maybe behaving in a way that they don't agree with, first thing they say is what? He can't do that and be saved. He can't. I'm like, wait a minute. What are you doing and saved?
Yeah.
What are you doing and saved? You'll say, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. What are you doing that if somebody saw you, they would say, she can't be saved in doing that. Look.
Don't be pointing at any of these females in here.
The Lord knows us. Mm-hmm. Like Melissa say, I see you. I see you. He sees us. You're not hiding from him. But that's why you better thank God for his grace every day.
Many times a day.
Because you know you. Mm-hmm. Like I know me.
Yeah.
And listen.
This process is still going.
The process is still going, you know what? And you better be glad it's done.
Yeah. Traditionally, it's done.
In the moment, if you look away from him, you're going to trip up. Mm-hmm. You will. Because there's nothing good. There's nothing good in you that's going to sustain your conviction. If it's not in Christ.
And that's what the whole works is about, really. Is to, you know, really to make us feel better about our flaws.
It's a cover up.
Mm-hmm.
For who you. That's, look, Romans 7 said this. He says, Romans 5 said, the law entered that the offense might what? Abound. Romans 7, he said this. He said that the commandment, it made sin. It made who you are, who was in you. It made sin what?
Exceedingly sinful.
He had, you know what? You have to show a man. You have to show a man that in you, that is in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Oh, he's a nice guy. Right. Sure he is. You will do anything. You hear me? Yeah, you. I'm pointing out everybody. Everybody. You will do anything. That's why, and when you get familiar with that, then it won't surprise you when I do anything. Mm-hmm. What you would do is come to me and say, brother, I knew you'd do anything. Because I could do anything. But this is not the kind of thing that God wants us to do as believers. Now, let me and you, let's meet next week at class. Just kind of get this thing off us. Get rid of this thing. Let's look to him for some deliverance. But if I come to you and say, I knew you wasn't the believer. I knew it. Just a matter of time. I knew it. You can't operate like that. That's not grace.
Yeah.
But he says, verse 28, he says, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. He says, this is us. We're not working. I'm not working. And I'm not going back into bondage either.
And they can't coexist.
And they can't. That's why. No man will put me under a performance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I always thought that this was extremely harsh.
What? Cast out the bondwoman? Mm-hmm. Well, that's the principle. See, you know what?
Remember, he said it was an allegory.
You know, yeah, right.
I don't even know what an allegory is. You
it's
guys
a, it's a,
my head.
He's well, using something as an example. He's not, something
out. Allegory, right. Allegory is from, anyway.
It's like an Aesop's fables or something. It's to tell a story.
Oh, Aesop's, okay, yeah.
Like a parable. It's a story that means the same thing. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let me give you an example.
Like Pinocchio.
But you know what? Before we close out. Boy, Frank said that's. I thought that was kind of harsh.
Well,
that he said that. But the thing is, matter of fact, when God promised Abraham that he was going to have a son, when God promised Abraham that he was going to have a son, Abraham begot Ishmael out of what?
Work.
Out of works.
He said, "Get rid of that work. Get rid of the law."
Get rid of your performance, right? If he said, "I'm promising you that you're going to have a son," you're supposed to do what?
What he says,
trust
I guess.
And believe him.
And do what?
Wait
on it. But Abraham, he didn't do that. But when he had Ishmael, and that's all those things we talked about back there, and when Ishmael comes up. You know what's interesting when he does, and he said this, he waited till they were dead. Mm-hmm. Sarah and Abraham. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. 90 and 100. Mm-hmm. He waited. And then they knew that it was who?
God.
They knew it. And when they got Isaac, you know what's interesting? It was a verse back there that said this. And Hagar, this Ishmael, was mocking Isaac. And he said this. She said, Sarah said that cast out that son. He won't be. Let me go back a verse. He said this. And when Isaac was weaned, the day that Isaac was weaned, the scripture said, and Abraham threw him a big feast. Hmm. You know what that's symbolic of? This is my heir.
Son.
This is my son. This is my heir.
It's like the bar mitzvah.
This is him. And who's in the background?
Ishmael.
And I could just bet he's like...
I was the firstborn.
That's what he's saying. He's saying, this is mine. This is my stuff. That's not yours. And you know what? That's what the next verse says. He shall not be heir with my son. And you go through. And the thing said, and the thing was grievous to Abraham because of his son. You know what Abraham's saying? He's still holding on to his thing.
To his
he's like, oh, Lord, that Ishmael might live before thee. He's telling God. What is he telling God?
Well, you want to be there.
Not just that. What else?
Except my performance.
Except my performance. This has got to count for something.
He's like Cain.
And anybody, and just like you, if you're trying to work to please God, and he said this, when he said that,
Ishmael, by his works, feeling entitled.
Not Ishmael. Ishmael, by him being the firstborn, thought he was entitled to the inheritance. But he didn't know that the inheritance
was
by promise. It's not by works. And that's what God is driving home with this whole example.
Allegory.
With this allegory, right. And he said this. He says, it's okay. Listen to your wife. Because in Isaac, she got the right guy. It's not by your works. It's God's grace. And you know what? He gave Ishmael
some.
He gave him some things and did what?
See you later.
Send him away.
Don't come back. We'll call you.
You know what? I know I don't say that. I like that. I like that kind of stuff because I see what God's doing. Whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hope, expectation. You know what? We all go through things in our saved life daily.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions. We have different emotions. Different experiences that get us up or down.
Daily.
I would even say hourly.
Yeah.
But you know what we have to learn is trust the Lord.
So when you get those thoughts, you got to go right back talking to.
That's the Lord. You know what? Trust the Lord. It's get right. Get in. Grab a verse. Grab a verse and hold on to it. If it ain't but a verse, you know what? I'm saved by grace. Grab it and hold it.
Yeah.
Like it's like you shipwreck. I'm holding on to this, and I'm not letting go. And but as we keep reading and growing, is he starts to impress in us. This is what I've done for you to elevate you. What I'm saying, elevate you, is to get your thinking and even your lifestyle lined up with the position that I want you to have. I know. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Lord, help us to understand a little bit more than a little bit more as we read. Just open our understanding, help our unbelief. And Lord, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us beyond measure. We just thank you for your unspeakable gift. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.